All right, I want to greet each and every one of you this morning in the precious name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. What a blessing it is to be back with you today. Bring greetings from the brethren in Brazil. Had a real good visit there with them. It's a blessing to be there. Let's open our Bibles to Matthew chapter 1. Let's go to the Lord in prayer before we start. Our Father, we come before you this morning and we thank you for your goodness and for your mercy. We just ask your blessing upon us, Father, as we strive to do your will and bring glory to you. Help us be faithful, God. Again, we just want to thank you for all that you do for us. Lord, fill us with your Spirit. Give us wisdom. Words to say, Father, that would edify us and strengthen us and draw us closer to you. Again, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's begin in Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. It says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man, and not wanting to disgrace her, planned to send her away secretly." What I want to talk about is being a righteous man. You know, a lot of times when we think a righteous man, it's just someone that just keeps everything, all of the rules, all of the laws, just without flaw. There's never an error. There's no variance in them. They're just calm all the time, and everything is just perfectly in order in their home, their business, whatever they do. That's what we think of, and that's what many times we strive for when we think of being a righteous man. But a righteous man is not something that we just learn to live like. It's more than, that's what Jesus was talking about, it's more than just appearance, but judge in righteous judgment. Here we have Joseph betrothed to Mary. Joseph doesn't know what's going on. But he finds out that his girlfriend or his betrothed is now with child. The Pharisees, 30 years later, said, "We're holy. You were born of fornication." In other words, you were an illegitimate child because your parents weren't even married when you were conceived. It was a scandal that Jesus was born into this world into. He was born into a scandal. He was a despised child because he was illegitimate from the very birth in the eyes of man. Here Joseph comes and his wife is with child. His girlfriend is with child. You know what that made Joseph look like? It looked like he was the guilty party. How did he respond? And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man, and not wanting to disgrace her, planned to send her away secretly. You see, according to the law, she could have been stoned. He didn't know. He knew it wasn't him. Here, she just came with child. He could have had her stoned and exalted himself to be a righteous man, abused, taken advantage of, cheated on, and put her away with honor for himself. But the Bible says, being a righteous man, he chose not to worry about himself. But he didn't want her disgraced in all of this. He didn't want to disgrace her. Had every legal right to do it. Every moral right to do it as far as religious is concerned. But he chose to take the blame upon himself. To take the shame upon himself. To take the reproach upon himself that didn't go away. Because 30 years later, they were still accusing Jesus of being born out of being married, out of a marriage. What I want to talk about, or what I want to focus on this morning, is what it means to really be a righteous man. According to what God wants, according to the Bible, what it teaches about being a righteous man. It's not being concerned about ourselves. Jesus said if we're going to follow Him, one of the very first requirements Jesus lays down is deny yourself and take up your cross and follow Me. Joseph, it gives us a perfect example of this. He wasn't trying to impress people by being religious. He wasn't trying to justify himself so that he could save himself. Joseph laid down his self. He laid down his pride. He laid down his religion. He laid down everything and lost himself. That's what the Bible calls a righteous man. We're so worried about ourselves and what other people will think, or maybe what God would think about us, that we're willing to throw anybody under the bus so that we look holy and we look righteous and we look good and we don't want our appearances marred at all. And so we throw everybody under the bus so that we look good. We're willing to criticize and condemn everyone else so that I look good. Jesus said, deny yourself. That's what Joseph did. He denied himself. And then what happened? He lived with that choice. He didn't try to fix it later. How much do we try to fix things? God didn't call us to fix things. He called us to live right, live holy, carry the cross that He gives us. Joseph, he didn't spend the rest of his life trying to undo what it appeared it looked like. He was a righteous man. He bore that shame, and that's what the cross is. Living this life out that's been laid upon him because he did what was right. And he lived it and stuck it out and carried it out. What an example he's given us of a righteous man. Not a holy man. Not a religious man. Not an upstanding man of God like we want to think about. But a righteous man. Isn't that what we're trying to shoot for? Isn't that what God wants for us? Isn't that what it really means to be a holy man? A man of God, a man like Christ, who lived this shame all of his life, never seeking for anything of his own, laying down his life so that we might be set free. Isn't that what it's about? And here we see a righteous man. He wasn't trying to make himself look good at all. In fact, he was trying to protect the one who, in all appearance, had done wrong and chose not to publish her name abroad for the error that she committed, but to put her away quietly. He didn't want to make a public example. He didn't want everybody to know it. He wasn't trying to warn everyone about how bad she was. He did it quietly, discreetly. He wanted no one to know about it. And he would be willing just to take the shame of it and live with it. That's what he did. And that's what a righteous man does. When someone falls, he's not the first one to jump up and say, "I'm going to stand for sin and we're going to expose everything that's going on around here." That's not righteousness. Righteousness is, you know, it looks religious because people are sweeping things under the rug all over. So I'm going to stand up. I'm going to fight against all of this. I'm going to expose it. We live in a time of church decay. But fixing church decay is not making things stricter and not being harder on people. Fixing church decay is being a righteous man. Yourself. You can't fix church decay by fixing everybody else. You fix church decay by you being a man of God. A righteous man. Not a strict man, but a righteous man. We're the light of the world. We're the salt of the earth. And the way light does is shines, not exalts itself. You're salt because you preserve what's around you by being a righteous man. We're trying to fix it by being holy or being strict or stop church decay by creating rules so that we won't fall into that error. So often, we react the opposite way of what we're supposed to. And it looks holy, and it looks right, and it looks like you're really doing something, but you miss the whole thing. Let's turn to Romans chapter 14. Verse 1. It says, "Now accept the one who is weak in faith, but not for the purpose of passing judgment on his opinion." We'll stop right there. It says to accept the one who is weak in faith. Now let's turn over to Romans 15. Verse 1. "Now we who are strong ought to bear the weaknesses of those without strength and not just please ourselves." Now we who are strong, and you know, the person who's taking a stand and really being stiff and hard and strong against people who are failing, they think they're strong, don't they? They think they're really standing up to something. But look what the Bible says that the strong are supposed to do. "Now we who are strong ought to bear the weaknesses of those without strength and not just please ourselves." I'm saying that 99% of strong holiness is about pleasing ourselves. It's about pleasing ourselves. We do righteous things not for others. We do it for ourselves. We're trying to save ourselves. And so we're trying to put on all this righteous appearance, trying to save ourselves. Selfishness. We all think it's ugly. Everybody thinks it's ugly, the selfish person. It's not pretty at all. But most people are selfish, and then when they become religious, they just become selfish religious people. But it looks different. We can't, oh yeah, we're a lot nicer. We maybe don't do things to hurt people so bad. But the heart of it is still, I'm going to serve myself now. I'm going to save myself. We talk about people in the world and how ugly it looks. Living out there in the black, dark world. It's ugly. And we can see that. We can see people who are seeking to please themselves in the flesh, in the world. They just go after it. And we see the fruit of it. And it's not pretty. But then we get converted. We get religious. And so instead of just seeking pleasure for ourselves, we begin to seek safety for ourselves. We begin to seek security for ourselves. We want to know we're right with God. And so we begin to seek after all of those things. And really, the focus is just another form of self that looks so much higher than the other. But it's still self. It's still the same old thing. It just has different clothes on. Now it looks good to seek my own, to seek higher things, to seek Him for myself. But a righteous man loses himself. You know, we all want security about being saved. Jesus said, "He that loses his life will find it." And He also says, "He that findeth his life shall lose it." How many people on the judgment day are going to stand before God and think that I found Jesus, I found salvation for me? And He's going to say, "You found your life, but you're going to lose your soul." He said, "He that seeketh, he that finds his life will lose it, and he that loses it will find it." It's about us losing ourselves, not finding ourselves. Finding ourselves, well, we can just create, we can just trim, and we can just make ourselves look so nice. We can just keep the church looking perfect. We're not going to accept anybody that doesn't measure up to our standard. We're just going to accept everybody only if they fit with us. We're strong. We're strong. And so we can't tolerate anybody that isn't on our level, because we're so strong. But the Bible says, those that are strong should be able to bear with the weaknesses of others. You see, a perfect church isn't where everyone is perfect in it. A perfect church isn't where everybody just does so, and we're just all are on the same level and we're just all walking together. No. A church has weak people in it. A church has people that are not as strong as other people in it. A church has people that need lifted up and need carried through and need coaxed and they need babied and they need carried. And they need someone to do it. See, the strong people, whenever someone's weak, they just cut them off. Oh, you got a blemish? Boom, you're gone. You're going to harm me. You're going to contaminate me. I can't be around you because you're going to poison me. righteous man doesn't need to fear being poisoned. He lives righteously. And he's willing to go among, like Jesus, the sick, the weak, the dead even, in cases, and go right out among them and lift out a hand to help them. All you got to do is look at who Jesus helped. It wasn't the man who didn't need any help that Jesus was there for. It was the man who needed help. It was the man who nobody wanted to touch, who no one wanted anything to do with. The one that was crying leper, unclean, that he went and touched. He went and spoke to. He went and made a friend of. Jesus came to help those who needed help. And so much of the religious church, the righteous church, won't touch them with a 10-foot pole if they think it might contaminate them just a little bit. You know what? They don't say it like that. They don't say it like that. They would never say it like that. But they live like that. Ye who are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak. You see, a strong person can tolerate someone weaker than himself. A strong person can live his life right in the middle of a mess and still be faithful. You know, the Bible talks about the woman in submission in 1 Peter. It talks about let her submit, because if she submits properly, she cannot be harmed by it. We spend so much time trying to protect ourselves that we miss real righteousness. I want to read that right quick, just so in 1 Peter, just to get the thought. Peter chapter 3 verse 1. In the same way, you wives, be submissive to your own husbands, so that even if any of them are disobedient to the word, they may be won without a word by the behavior of the wives. That they may be won by the righteous acts of the wife. Not by her preaching, not by her nagging, not by her trying to fix anything. As they observe your chaste and respectful conversation, behavior. Your adornment must not be merely external, braiding the hair and wearing gold, jewelry, or putting on dresses, but let it be the hidden man of the heart with the imperishable quality of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is precious in the sight of God. Let it be the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable quality. What's imperishable? Something that isn't going to go away. Oh, what if he tells me to do something maybe I shouldn't? If you have that imperishable quality of a meek and gentle spirit, it's not going to hurt you. That imperishable quality is something that can't be harmed by doing what's right. In other words, you can live in a bad situation, and if you've got that imperishable quality, nothing's going to happen to it. It's not going to be stained by the world. That imperishable quality of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is precious in the sight of God. What's God looking for? You making sure you appear wonderful all the time? No, it's not what he says. That imperishable quality of a meek and quiet spirit, that's what God's looking for. We're so afraid of listening to anyone else. They might deceive us. They might deceive us if we listen to someone else. And so they build up these walls of religious, do it my own way kind of attitude. And we're not going to listen to anybody. That does not have the quality of an imperishable spirit. It doesn't have that quality to it. That's a self-protecting thing. A righteous man can obey other people. A righteous man can listen to other people. And they do it with a meek and quiet spirit to someone above them. And it doesn't hurt them. It's imperishable. They can listen to someone else. That's what I want to instill in you young people. I love whenever I see a young person respecting older people. That's an imperishable quality. That means they can listen to that person and still make their own decisions and still do what's right, and they won't be deceived about it. But someone that's building a wall that they will not listen to anyone else will be deceived. Because they'll listen to somebody they shouldn't listen to. That's why we try to instill respect for elders. The Bible talks all about it. It's a good thing. Well, there's nothing uglier in the world than to see these little brats running around that have no respect or no care for anybody. And it's even worse when it gets in the church. These religious little hypocrites running around have no respect. They know the Bible. They're not going to listen to anybody. And it don't matter whether that tall or that tall. Filthy. Just as rebellious looking as a little teenager that's sticking his nose at you or shaking his fist or cussing you out because you try to do something nice for him. Same spirit, sir. A righteous man won't be polluted because someone's weaker than he is. And a righteous man won't be polluted because he listens to someone in authority over him. Even though everything might not be right, even though he may not understand everything, if he has the attitude of respecting the authority above him, he'll be honest with every, he'll go all the way through. Just like not being polluted by a weaker man, he won't be polluted by someone who's in authority. And there's people that are in authority that abuse that authority. But a righteous man's not going to be poisoned by it. His hope is on the Lord. And he'll get through the problems. A perfect church is filled with problems. But it's also filled with righteous people who know how to get through those problems. To walk through those problems. They might not fix everything just right, but they go through them. They're not taking a list about who failed me. One of the things we need to learn is you don't worry about offenses. You just start fixing the problem after the offense occurred. Forgive it and let it go. You don't hold on to things somebody did to you. You're holding on to that to your own destruction. Just like the righteous man loses himself. When we stand before God on the judgment day, and I talked to a man this week, and he was worried about some of these things or some of this or how we believe about that. And I said, you know, all of those things, we can have them all perfect. But on the judgment day, you know what we're going to be judged by? Not our performance of those perfect things. Jesus said, If you forgive, you'll be forgiven. Wow. What do you want to be judged by? I did everything perfect? Or do you want to stand before God and say, I forgave? Jesus said, he who shows no mercy will be judged without mercy. He that offers mercy will receive mercy. What do you want to be judged by? How well you performed? Or whether you showed forgiveness? And I mean forgiveness. Whenever someone in the church does something wrong, if you're still carrying that a year later, you haven't forgave them. You let it go. You drop it. And if they do it again, 7 times 7. You may have to fix the problem over. You may not like it. You may grumble about it. But your first thought isn't against them. Forgiveness is what I want to be judged by. Because I need it. Mercy is what I want to be judged by. Because I need it. And you do too, whether you know it or not. We don't have anything to be proud of because we can perform religiously. Jesus said, if you forgive, you'll be forgiven. If you're merciful, you'll be merciful. If you're strong, you'll bear the infirmities of the weak. And you'll be able to submit to someone who may be above you or have authority over you. And none of that will harm you. None of that will hurt you. It'll be what you'll be judged by. That's what we need to strive for. That's what a righteous man does. Wouldn't it be wonderful if the only thing that God would ever say about us, if He would put our name in a Bible, would He be, He was a righteous man. Or Him not willing to shame someone else, acted righteously. What do we want? What do we want when we stand before God? Some big story about how great things and how many great things we did and a whole bunch of medals? Or, well done. Well done, my good and faithful servant. Forget all the other garbage. Well done. That's all we want to hear. May the Lord add His blessings.
Oh, Father, lead us gently. Jesus, Jesus.